Hello, everyone, and welcome to our office hours for the month of July 2019. Here is the place where, with every program of ours you're in, you get the opportunity to ask questions. These questions are limited to questions about you, or not really a family member. Really, it's just about your own health. If you're a health practitioner, the call that you want to come on to ask questions about your client would be next week, when we have an office hours call for practitioners. But this is really about you. This is about your self-care. This is about whatever program you're in. If you're in the sweet spot or body balance, which is where, or ERC, which is the bulk of who comes to these calls. But if you're doing self-study of our gut repair or adrenals or thyroid, this is where you can get the support that you need. And I'm excited to have you here. So the way you get support, it looks like Sharon already raised her hand, is *2. That raises your hand. The other way to get support is to type into the Q&A box. And all right, a couple of questions in there. Great. And also the chat, but I prefer the Q&A box. So if you're hearing me, I'm assuming you're hearing me because we just had the other call. And if you're listening on the web, just go ahead and type into the web that you're hearing me. If you are, we're on the sweet spot call, and you were not on the phone or the live broadcast. If you're not on the phone, you're not going to hear me. So what you need to do is, you're not hearing me if that's the case. So I wonder why. So you need to be on the phone, so anybody that's in sweet spot needs to know they have to click the other link to get in if you're just listening on the broadcast. So Carol can hear. Great. Awesome. So what I'm going to do here is I've got two questions that were typed in advance, so I'm going to answer those questions, and then I have one hand up that's been up, and that's Sharon, and then we'll open it up for whatever questions you guys have. So Mary says, any questions for receding gums? Mary? Go to my Facebook page, the Dr. Rita Marie Facebook page. This afternoon, I had an amazing interview with someone about receding gums. She's a registered nurse and an expert in dental care, and we had a lot of conversation about gums. You know, you have to find out why it's there. It could be the products that you're using. It could be a lack of vitamin C and bioflavonoids and so much more. So that's what I would recommend you do, Mary. And then Mary also says, I have high platelets because of a genetic condition, wondering if I should be eating greens like spinach or less green like romaine because of the vitamin K. That's a good question. It depends on how high. If they're only slightly high, slightly out of range, you probably can vary your greens. So I would definitely vary them and not eat the super high vitamin K ones all the time. But if they're not, then you should be fine. You know, if it's just slightly elevated. But in general, we should be varying our greens anyway. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to go to Sharon. Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
How you doing?
Quite well, thank you.
Good.
I'm glad for this opportunity to speak with you.
I'm glad you do, too. Yay.
Okay. I have hypothyroid, an autoimmune disease, daytime fatigue. Like I'm tired from the time
when
I wake up.
When you say an autoimmune disease, do you mean you have autoimmune thyroid, Hashimoto's?
No. Or besides that, I have oral lichen planus.
Okay, got it. Yeah, now I remember that.
Yeah, and I have daytime fatigue. I'm tired from the time I wake up in the morning. And about 2 in the afternoon, I just hit the wall. I have to lay down, but I can't fall asleep. And, you know, afternoons are just really difficult for me. I've been doing my glucose testing and I'm just really having a hard time, getting my blood sugar to stay below 110. And it starts high from first thing in the morning. And, you know, some of the readings are 5.1, 5.9, 5.3. And I've also had problems with adrenal fatigue. And, you know, I believe this is all related to not being able to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've gone through the sleep part in module 3.
Yeah.
And for years, I've been doing most of what's in the guidelines for a good night's sleep. And I haven't found what's worked. And I just wondered if you had any more insight into what I could be doing.
Yeah. So are you on thyroid medication for the hypothyroid?
I am. Synthroid.
You're on Synthroid, so T4. And have you had a full thyroid panel done to see your conversion factors and if you have antibodies to thyroid, obviously?
Tell me what you mean by full thyroid, and then I'll know more.
So TSH, total T4, free T4, free T3, and then thyroid antibodies.
I just haven't had the thyroid antibodies.
Okay, so you have had all of the rest. Do you recall some of the numbers, like with the T3, free T3?
Can you give me one moment?
Sure. Oh, I just remembered that the ears are probably in international unit. Okay, let's see. As she goes through that, you're hearing Patty Hashimoto's and on thyroid BHRT, not seeing a difference in the are you in, Patty, are you in the Thyroid Revive and Thrive? Or Sweet Spot, or what program? Sweet Spot. Doing the prepare for the success portion. You ask about the Freestyle Freedom Light glucose meter. I've never tried it, so I can't really comment. There's no way I could have tested all, you know, hundreds and hundreds of them. I picked the ones that had certain criteria and I tried them. So, you know, I can't say. I know the ones that 10 or 12 that I did test, and it came down to the ones that I put in that chart that were good. Laura in CMDS, going through all the sections, I also have digestive issues. Wondering if I should test for H. pylori, which I was told they probably have from a naturopath, or do I take HCL before getting a diagnosis? I would not recommend that you take HCL if you suspect H. pylori, because it could actually make it worse. So you could test the H. pylori. The only test I really trust for it is BioHealth, and they have an H. pylori. They have a whole panel, and then they have that with H. pylori. Oftentimes, what I'll recommend people do is get a stool test with doctor's data and then add the H. pylori from BioHealth, because they know it's pretty accurate. Yeah. I mean, not taking HCL before getting a diagnosis, but what you might want to do is to, if you really don't want to spend the money and get the testing done, is to do an H. pylori protocol, which is all listed in the CMDS. There's actually a sheet, I think, on it. But we talk about, like, mastic gum and things like that. Coming back is I don't digest fat cells and take digestive gold. Not sure if it helps, but it does a bit. You think a Biogest, which has HCL and other things, instead of straight HCL. I'm not a big fan of doing HCL until you've done an HCL challenge. So I'd recommend that you do an HCL challenge first, before you determine if you should take HCL. Rather than HCL, what I recommend is that you do some bitters and zinc to help stimulate your body to make its own HCL. All right, so I got all the questions done, and now I'm going to come back to you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, all right, so thyroid numbers.
Okay, TSH is 1.88. Free T4 is 13.9, and free T3 is 4.3.
All right, so I don't know how those numbers convert. Let me pull up my sheet. Are either Lynn or Angelica on that could pop these numbers? No, they're not. Into, okay. I'm going to look at, let me just pull up my master tracker sheet to do the conversion, because that 13.9 is it free T4 is 13.9 or total T4?
Free T4.
Yeah, so that's way out of range. So I don't think it is, but it's so far out of range that usually it's like 1.1 would be a normal number for that. how do I find my master tracker? Give me a second. Okay, so master tracker would be cheat resources. Oh, yeah, master tracker. Okay. I have a master tracker sheet that I use for our inner circle and our practitioners that will, okay, that does my conversions for me. So let's see, health timeline. International, lab results international. Here we go. I'm just going to put those numbers in. According to this, okay, so free T4, if I put that number in, it says, you said 13.9, right?
That's correct.
It's 1.08. So that's in the normal, low end of normal range. I'm going to put the 3T3 in there, which is, you said 4.3. That's super low. Unless they're using, does it say what the, next to it, does it say the units, like P mole per liter or something like that?
For the T3, it's 3.5 to 6.5.
Is what they say the range is?
Yes.
Does it say what unit, P mole per liter or mg per dl?
P mole per liter.
Huh, one thing mustn't be converting right, because mine says 0.79 it converts to, which is low. And it says the range is 3.5 to?
6.5.
Okay, so they're both pretty much at the low end of your range. So they're consistent. And is TSH in the same as ours, or let me just put it in here. Okay, I'm just going to put the number in and see if it gets converted. You said 1.88, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the same. So the TSH, yeah, those numbers are totally consistent. Okay, so I don't think it's that. If you haven't had your thyroid antibodies tested, so you might have a thyroid antibody condition, which means that really looking at with the lichen planus as an autoimmune, and if you have also autoimmune in the thyroid as well, and oftentimes they go hand in hand, right? I would say you need to be looking at gut. You need to be looking at leaky gut. And have you done any work with leaky gut?
I haven't done any of the digestion one yet.
Okay, so leaky gut is super important.
Would that be in the digestion one?
It would be in the digestion. Are you in body balance? Yeah, you're in body balance, yeah. Right? Yeah, and the digestion, the leaky gut. There's also a possibility of, you know, some heavy metal exposure or some kind of other stress, a chronic viral infection. Do you have a number that's the lymphocytes and the neutrophils on your lab by any chance?
Yes, I've got them right here. Lymphocytes 1.3, and the range is 1.5 to 4.0.
Okay, so it's low. And what about the neutrophils?
4.2, and the range is 2.0 to 7.5.
What else? Are these percentages, or these are just absolute, right? It says neutrophils absolute.
For units, it says 10E and then 9/0.
Yeah, that's the absolute. Does it show monocytes?
Yes.
What's that?
0.5, and range is 0.2 to 0.8.
What about eosinophils?
0.1, and the range is 0.0 to 0.5.
Okay, so you're good. None of the other than, do they flag the lymphocytes as being low?
Yes, they do.
Okay, yeah, because it's low. So that, other than that, the others are okay. The neutrophils are okay. The monocytes, eosinophils. What about basophils?
0.1, and range is 0.0 to 0.1.
Okay, so this is at the high end of that. There may be some parasitic stuff going on. And given that the lymphocytes are lower in relationship, you know, percentage-wise to the neutrophils, then there may be some bacterial kind of stuff going on as well.
As well as viral?
As well as what?
As well as viral?
Well, viral, you said, what was the range you said? I thought you said the range was 1.5.
For right? The lymphocytes?
Yeah, the lymphocytes.
Range is 1.5 to 4.0.
Yeah, so you're low on your lymphocytes, which would more suggest bacterial. High lymphocytes is more viral. High neutrophils is more viral. Your neutrophils aren't high, but in relationship to your lymphocytes, they are. None of the others except the basophils are borderline, so there may be something going on with parasite stuff, which is very common in people with autoimmune conditions. Very common. And with the hitting the wall in the afternoon, do you have lunch or do you have a late breakfast? Or do you have a normal breakfast? What's your typical
food? Three meals a day.
You eat three. So you have first thing in the morning. And what would your typical breakfast and lunch be?
This time of year, I might have a smoothie at breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very careful about the amount of fruit that's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And since starting the program, I've only been using the low glycemic fruits. And for lunch, I would have vegetables and a protein.
Okay. So low glycemic, and you've been testing your blood sugar with all that?
I have been checking my blood sugar.
And does it go up at all? Like you said, you're starting out kind of high. Does it go up from there or does it go down from there?
As soon as I eat, it just goes up.
So even from there. So have you tried smoothies without any fruit?
No. But, I'm sort of at a loss as to what to have for breakfast.
Okay. Hormone hacking breakfast menus. Do you have access to that one? I think it's in there. If not, go to hormonehackingbreakfastmenus.com. You'll have to put your name and email address in, but you're already on my list. But I believe it's in Body Balance. It's under the sweet spot section. The blood sugar.
Well.
Yeah, and on the nutrition page. But if not, just go to Hormone Hacking Breakfast Menus, and it will send you a link to it.
And
that'll give you ideas.
I would have before had even eggs.
Uh-huh.
But I've been doing the elimination diet as well, so I haven't been having eggs.
Yeah. I would look at that booklet because it gives you some really good ideas for breakfast.
Okay.
And since you're starting out a little high, right,
mm-hmm.
Does it go down at night or is it about the same in the at night before you go to bed as it is in the morning?
I've got my numbers right here. Let's take a look.
Yeah.
Like 2 hours after a meal, after dinner, it's 5.3 or 4.8, 3.5.
Those are different days?
Sorry, I've got the numbers here beside me for what you do. 3.5 hours, 87. 3 hours after.
I can convert them, but. If you have them, see them that way. I was just going to do 5.3 times 18,
yeah.
95.
96, 84.
Those are all good numbers. 5.9 is a little high for the morning for sure, but for after eating, 95 is good. So it seems like it's highest in the first thing in the morning?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I've sort of been testing it with some of the foods. The grains really shoot it right up.
Grains, yeah. Not surprising.
Yeah. It goes well above the 110 when I use grains.
Yeah. What about the breakfast with the smoothie with some of the fruit in there? Do you notice that, so it's starting out at 5.9, which is 106. where does it go after breakfast? What's like the peak after that breakfast with the smoothie?
So one morning it was 5.9 and I did have some quinoa and fruit. So, you know, I've since learned that that's not a good combination for me.
Well, that's only 106, so that you're still in good shape with 5.9.
5.9, that was when before breakfast. And then 30 minutes after it was 6.0, and then it did continue to go down, and then it rose again to get bit at the 2-hour mark.
What was the highest?
6.0.
Okay. So that's fine. That's really, that's not a problem.
Okay.
So I don't think that the fruit in the smoothie is a problem for you. It's just, why is it like that in the morning? Do you have any last before going to bed readings?
No, I don't.
Okay. Start taking those last before going to bed readings. What I'd like to determine is it that period of time between dinner and bedtime that we need to look at, or is it the period of time between bedtime and coming up, getting up in the morning? Is it three? What did you say? Are you waiting 3 hours between dinner and bedtime or more?
More. I don't eat after dinner until the next morning.
Okay. So, yeah, so get those numbers in that range, like right before you go to bed. Let's see what's going on. Now, if it's going up overnight, that means there's probably some sort of stressor happening during the sleep, and that's keeping you awake, obviously. Are you having trouble falling asleep or staying asleep? It's mainly staying, right?
Staying asleep.
How long do you sleep before you wake up the first time?
I would sleep from maybe about 10:30. Until, I mean, it could be 2 o'clock or it could be 3 o'clock, 3:30, somewhere in there. And then that's when I have trouble going back to sleep.
Do you go back at all, or does it just take all the time to do that?
Well, I have resorted to taking a small amount of sleeping pill. And then I'll be awake for the day by about 5 o'clock, or it could be earlier.
Okay, so that doesn't just knock you out for the duration.
It doesn't knock me out for very long, though.
Wow. And you've tried other things other than the prescriptions? Have you tried phosphatidylserine?
Yes.
For how long?
I've been seeing a naturopath for a few years, so we've tried it a few times. She had me go back on it again just recently, and I'm really struggling right now because I'm having difficulty falling asleep now, so I don't know what it is that's causing that.
Okay. Have you had a Dutch test done yet, or an adrenal? I would say a Dutch test better.
No, I haven't.
I would recommend that. Have you had an adrenal saliva test done at any point in time?
I have, and the cortisol is always high.
It's always high?
Yeah.
Like all day, or just in the sleeping time of day? My guess is you
all the time.
So even in the afternoon when you're having those dips.
Yeah.
All right. I would recommend a Dutch test because then you can see what's really going on. You can see what the metabolites are. Are you clearing things? Are you not making enough? Are you heading towards burnout here? But I think the sleep issue is definitely related to the cortisol. It's just a matter of helping that. And if you tried some of the other things to bring it down, and if looking at your body, I would be looking at what's going on in your gut.
Okay.
With the basophils being on the borderline high, the lymphocytes being a little low, there might be a bacterial or a parasitic kind of thing going on in your gut.
My next naturopath again, she often finds viral and bacterial problems.
And does she do that with muscle testing?
You know, the Vega test.
Oh, the Vega. Okay, so it's an energetic test versus a stool test.
Yes.
Correct. And then what kind of approaches have you done when she finds the viral? Because viral is not, I'm not suspecting viral with a lymphocyte as well.
She has given me various drops to try. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I have done the blood sugar or the yeast detox, mm-hmm. candida detox.
Okay. Have you ever had a stool test done?
For what?
For looking at just overall, like a doctor's data or Genova or one of those.
When I go for an annual physical, they do the stool test.
Oh, that's usually a GWAC test. That's just for blood in the stool.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that, and I'm talking something more sophisticated to really look at what's going on in your gut, what kind of organisms are there. Do you have the right balance of the various enzymes and probiotics and things like that are in your gut? Because that can, so sometimes when people have difficulties falling asleep or staying asleep, this could be a number of things, right? There could be a mental and emotional thing, an old trauma that your body on an energetic nervous system level is reliving, that it has learned to hyper-respond and not feel safe at night. So that's one option. Parasites will lay eggs at night, so they often wake people up during the night, and then you wake up with your high blood sugar because you've woken up. It's probably high in the morning because of the waking up and not going back to sleep. So it's really, when we're looking at root cause, we're going backwards, right? So what's really causing you not to be able to sleep? And that's something to look at. And so you want to look at physiologic stresses. You want to look at mental and emotion stresses. It could be a heavy metal stress. Given that you have an autoimmune disease, I'm really suspicious of leaky gut, and I'm suspicious about either metals or molds or chronic viral, some sort of chronic infection that might be creating and that has to be dealt with. Does stress ring a bell for you? Or having chronically high levels of cortisol, to me, says that there's definitely some sort of a stress in the system.
Nothing that I can actually put my finger on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think next steps for you, and you can determine how you want to do it, but I think you'd be getting a Dutch test and getting a stool test. Dutch test would just let us see where patterns are happening in metabolites-wise in your adrenal, but also is there anything related to some of the other hormones as well. The stool test would give us more of an indication of, is there something going awry in your gut that's causing the stress in your system that's causing those cortisol levels to be high, which is then causing the sleep to be high.
Okay.
So I think it's really a matter of, like, when we go backwards for root cause, it's what's the stress that's causing you not to be able to sleep that's causing that cortisol to be high.
Mm-hmm.
So right, I think your glucose control is actually fine. I don't think it's related to anything other than the cortisol based on what you're telling me.
Okay. So I can do the Dutch test through one of the labs that you use?
Yep. You can go to our page and you can order the Dutch test. You can order the stool test that way too, or you could do it through your naturopath.
Okay. Is the stool test called a stool test on your website?
It's called, the one that I recommend is called, it's doctor's data, and I think it's called comprehensive stool analysis or comprehensive digestive analysis. But if you click at the top, you click on where it says doctor's data, you find the one that has the comprehensive stool with parasitology times 3. And that'll give you the most accurate look to see if there's any kind of parasitic stuff or candida overgrowth or whatever going on there.
With parasitology times 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Once I get the results back from those tests, then what is the protocol that I would do?
Well,
do they recommend
bring them to either one of the best would be either the body balance implementation call, because we're on Zoom, and we can bring it up on the screen and I can show you what I'm seeing.
Okay. They send the results to you?
They send the results to me, and then somebody on my team gets them and will send them to you.
Okay, and then just to find out what I should do for protocol after.
Yeah, that's what we can talk about on one of those calls. We'll just, once it's up, I'll put it up on the screen. We can share it. If you're okay with sharing it with other people, if not, we'll just talk about it. But it'll be easier on a Zoom call than it is on these calls.
Yeah.
is the platform.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much for all of your help.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Anybody else have questions? Star 2 raises your hand. And Q&A, you'll just have that in the box next to you. Okay, I have Trisha. I sent in my information at 2:45. Okay. Anytime anybody sends me information, it says on the form, it has to be sent at least a day in advance because I start my day at 8:30 in the morning and I can be on calls all day long. So I don't look. I look the night before at things, but I don't. But I'm going to look. I postponed my transition period. Okay, we talked about this on the last call. Continue doing the reset, wondering if it's time to. Oh yeah, you put this question in on the other call, Trisha, and I'm not sure if you heard my answer. Maybe you stepped out when I did answer it, but I basically said that based on the numbers you're giving me here, the highest glucose being 86, lowest 56, average 67, bedtime highest 107, lowest 80, bedtime average 89. Those are excellent numbers. A1C was 5.4. That's a little on the high side, but I don't know where it was before. It's probably on its way down. I don't see oatmeal on any list. Can I try it? It's in the list. It's considered a non-gluten grain. And if you're going to be testing, you want to test it and, you know, just look to see if your peak. You didn't mention what your peaks are, like how high they're going after meals, but you can certainly try it and see how it goes. I have a peach tree and we'll make a low sugar jam. Is monk fruit sweetener, Lakanto, an acceptable sugar substitute? Yeah, I don't plan on eating a jam except for a taste now and again. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And the same thing with that, you know, try it. Try peaches on their own. Try a nice fresh peach, but only take like a quarter of it at first. See what it does to your blood sugar. That works well. Go a little higher, go a little higher. Just find that sweet spot of how much of each thing you can do and what do you have to do with it. I find that if I eat fruit and I eat a bunch of lettuce with it, it doesn't raise my sugar unless I eat too much of the fruit. Like, you know, when I was in Mexico last year and it was our last day and we had two mangoes left and we split them and I had a whole mango and we didn't have any greens left except for a little handful of spinach and boy, that shot my sugar up to 189. But after that, I tried mango with a big salad and just half a mango and it was fine. So you're going to find your sweet spot in terms of the amount and what you have to eat it with. So, yeah. Okay. Javana, where do I get guidance on what to take to correct my orange and yellow areas from my assessment surveys? Well, it's not a matter of what to take. It's a matter of what to do. And that's what the whole call previously was. If your numbers are high, these are the next steps. And if you want our support with doing it, we're happy to give you that support. In our Body Balance, you heard the very detailed questions I was doing with Sharon, and also in our ERC program, we'll work with you on those specific. You'll be assigned a coach, actually a team of coaches, to work with you. If you're in Body Balance, you get assigned to work with Lynn or another coach on a small group call as well as the full call. So that's the best way to get those. But it's not a matter of what to take. It's a matter of really digging in. And so we're not offering you as part of Sweet Spot to go in depth on all those other things, but we will offer you the ability to go on a call with Lynn, use the link that we gave you on the previous call to get to the calendar and get on the call, and she can help you. She or Angelica, both of them are trained to do that, can help you to be able to determine what your next steps should be to get to where you need to go. Yeah. All right. So let's look back here on call-in. Any other calls on? I see a Santa Fe. Yeah, I know you were hoping to do it as part of Sweet Spot, but and we wish we could give it to you. But at the investment level of Sweet Spot, we cannot afford to have personalized assistance like that. And that's why, you know, the Body Balance was created to give you a little bit more. But the really the best way to get really individualized attention is with our ERC program. good. Thank you for answering those questions with her, Angelica. Let's see. So I have Santa Fe. Who's in Santa Fe? Hi there, Santa Fe.
It's Jonavi. So you already addressed what I asked.
Okay. You got a good answer. I know it's not the answer you wanted to hear, but we'd love to hear.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The other question I had, though, is I do know that there's a PowerPoint presentation. There's some slide deck that you have. And I guess I'll just have to go through them all because there is something somewhere where you mention a few supplements, and I might want to look at that to see if there's something that inspires
me. There's something in there. In the nutrition module, there's a whole bunch of, we talk about all the different herbs and supplements, et cetera, for various, things you could try. But it's usually mostly related to the blood sugar, not related to the rest of it.
All right. Thank you. Okay. There is one other time.
Let me tell you the other thing. If you signed up early, I don't know if if you go to the where it says extras, bonus page, bonus 2019, it's the thyroid, gut, and adrenal bonuses are there. You can also go through those.
Okay. They're not. Okay.
Okay. So that means you were not
I did get bonuses. No, I did get bonuses. I signed up early. But, oh, wait a minute. It might be in the bonuses tab.
It's on the bonus.
It's not a thyroid one. Oh, okay. All right.
See it?
Yeah. There's a lot of links on the bonus. Well, no, but I do see the bonuses tab, and there's 15 links here.
Yeah.
So
it'll be there.
There's nothing that has the word thyroid in it, but adrenal.
Maybe it wasn't
adrenal
thyroid.
Jumpstart recipe.
Adrenal and gut. I don't. I have so many programs, and we don't remember the exact bonuses.
It's a
sure.
Yeah. I get that. Yeah. I get that. You know, I was also trying, but I've written your help desk, but I haven't gotten an answer back. There's one other time when I spoke with you on this program in a call. I wanted to hear that replay again, and I can't. The replay that I get online stops at the end of the slide, and it doesn't address the questions. So I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong.
When you go there, there should be, and if it's not there, we'll fix it. The way that we worked with it is when there's a slideshow, I do the slides separately, and it's a video, and then there's a separate audio only for the question part. So look back there.
Ah. Okay. So the audio doesn't really only match the slides. The auto can be longer.
No, we separate it because some people just want it. We want to have the content separate from the Q&A. So, yeah, if you just listen to the audio, it should go all the way to the end.
Okay.
And so you'll know that it's, listen past whatever.
See? Oh, that's perfect. Thank you. Yep, I do.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay.
Bye. All right. Who else? Let's see. Let me get back here. So put that hand down, and we have Andrea, I'm not sure how you say your name. Some people like it Andrea, some people like it Andrea. You say tomatoes, I say tomatoes, and I'm going to open up your line from Orlando.
Hi.
Hi.
It's a pleasure speaking to you tonight.
I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, so I have a question because I've gotten some confusing information. I've been doing raw foods and my blood sugar is at 85 every morning when I wake up, so I've been doing pretty well with maintaining my blood sugars and all. But I've heard that if you're doing the cleanse, that you can't do any, Rejuvelac or fermented foods. Is that true, or?
Wait, what cleanse?
I'm actually eating, raw foods. I'm raw foods, doing greens and, fasting, doing the intermittent fasting.
Right.
So in the morning, I will have the chia porridge, or I'll have some hazelnut milk with, and so all that is fine, but in the middle, I usually have, I'll have some fermented foods. I do my own cabbage and,
nice.
And I do some Rejuvelac. and they said that it's not good while you're eating this way to, you know, incorporate Rejuvelec or fermented foods. Is that
who
so?
Who told you that?
I was listening to a raw foodist out there, and they were saying that, and I was like, well, I thought that was not the case, that it is best for you to incorporate the, you know, the cabbage and Rejuvelec.
Everybody's got an opinion, and I'm just going to say a lot of people state their opinion as if it's fact, and maybe there's a particular cleanse that they do that they don't want people putting fermented foods, but I've never heard of that it's not a good idea to eat fermented foods when you're eating a raw food diet. I eat a raw food diet. I almost never eat cooked foods except in the winter. I eat some steamed veggies. That's the extent of my cooked foods. And I eat tons of fermented foods. I don't drink Rejuvelec, but I do get cabbage juice. It's kind of like the juice from fermented veggies, and it's like jalapeno, and I love it. I drink that. I eat yogurt. I eat fermented food. So I don't know that I don't agree with that advice.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Something said, I just figured I'd just ask because it didn't make sense. Or even if you're doing a candida cleanse, would fermented foods be out of the question?
I don't believe so. I mean, there's time. I mean, I think it would be helpful. If it's just a pure candida, if you have some bacterial overgrowth where some of the fermented foods might feed them, or if you have SIBO, sometimes there's the bugs are in the wrong place, or in the small intestine, not the large, that some of the fermented foods can aggravate. If you have a histamine intolerance, fermented foods might aggravate. But I don't think there's any black or white. People doing X should not eat fermented foods, because fermented foods are like, they're staples. They're like the ancient art of rejuvenating the gut, right? And all cultures have them, with the exception of the U.S. It's not like a native food, but all the primitive cultures and all the, you look back and there's the kimchi and in Japan, Korea, and there's yogurt and there's sauerkraut, fermented veggies. I mean, it's just, it's a way, it started out as a way to preserve food, but really it's a way to just really team your gut with good bacteria. Now, if you eat it and you feel bad, then that's one thing. You have to figure out, why can't I tolerate fermented food? But if you're following, maybe you're following somebody's raw food plan and they don't like fermented foods, but, you know, it's kind of like some people say, like, nobody should eat raw cruciferous vegetables. It's like, oh, give me a break. There's certain people that shouldn't eat raw cruciferous vegetables, but if they can't tolerate it, it usually means they have an iodine deficiency. So we have to look at why. How's your body working? But I don't agree with that advice. I advise people to eat lots of, as much raw fermented foods as your body tolerates. It's just like, it's a feel-good, happy food for your gut.
Yeah, I just wanted to see what your opinion was, because I didn't agree with it either, but I just was curious on, you know, because I've been doing it, and I drink the fermented foods, the Rejuvelec, and I feel good.
Yeah. I mean, look at my Hippocrates Institute in Florida, not too far from you. They're in West Palm Beach, and Rejuvelec, it used to be a staple in their thing. You know, Anne Wigmore wrote the whole, she started a lot of people on raw foods and fermented foods. Her diet's loaded with fermented foods and Rejuvelec and sauerkraut fermented vegetables.
Yeah. I did her program, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. It was a really great experience.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's all about tuning into our own bodies. And if you, for some reason, you find that fermented foods disagree with you, I would stop eating them for now, but we always have to ask that deeper question of why. Why is it disagreeing with you? Generally, when a food that's a healthy food disagrees with you, it's not the food's fault. There's something in your processing, and it's giving you clues. Now, of course, if drinking Coke or eating M&Ms causes you to have gut pain, I'd say, well, it's crap food. It's the food's fault. Just stop eating it, right? But if you're eating sauerkraut or kimchi or whatever and you don't have a good experience, then we want to find out why. We always want to go deep, a deeper level and find out why.
Okay, well, thank God to your program and everything. I've been feeling pretty good.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm really glad to hear it. And it's good to hear people, you know, to talk to people who are actually doing more. Raw foods was so popular for a while, and everybody's doing raw foods. And then, you know, the paleo and the keto came along and they don't realize that you can do paleo and keto as a raw food person, right? And that's, to me, it's the healthier way to do it. So power to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Your program has helped me tremendously in discovering what was wrong with me. And it was a lot of retroviruses and that would wake me up in the middle of the night. But now they're packed. I have to say I have a really good night's sleep. So the Grand Diet, the Grand program has really, really worked.
Oh, that's great. And that's great to hear because Sharon, who was on earlier, she hasn't gotten as far as doing all that. But Sharon, you know, listen and choose that. Hopefully you feel encouraged that maybe getting that gut healed is on the right track to getting a good night's sleep. And for those in sweet spot, we're trying to arrange right now to have somebody come in and speak to us to do a more, you know, sleep, like how do you figure some of this out and see if there's some additional things that maybe we can help with. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now. All right. So that was Andrea. I didn't ask how it was Andrea or Andrea. All right. So that was that. I'm going to go back to Q&A. What time is it? 6:17. Where can I get guidance on what to check? Okay. That was, there we go. I just checked the lab test site. Which Dutch should I do? I would say the Dutch Complete is going to be your best bet. Sharon says, for sleep, I also take sleep easy capsules from Life Spa Organics, Dr. John Douillard, 1 hour before bed. They contain gotu-kola, ashwagandha, skullcap, and passion flower. I found that to be the most important. Those are adaptogens, so that's, we're back on the right track of those are calming adaptogens that tend to calm the nervous system down. What I'm going to ask you this is, you take those 1 hour before bed. Have you ever tried taking them when you wake up to get back to sleep? And also, I'm wondering if moving them a little closer to bed or doing that, and then I don't know when you've done your phosphatidylcholine, a serine when you've done it, or there's an herb called magnolia, which does calm down the cortisol levels, and taking it at bedtime generally is a good thing to do. And then if you wake up, you take it again. It may not work the first night, but as you get your body used to, I got to go back. Eventually, you know, maybe a week into it, you might see some shifts in that. So that's a good thing to try. Okay. All right. I don't see any more there. Let's see if anybody has their hand up. No more hands. And it looks like Angelica is really answering lots of good questions on there. Thank you. Thank you. Let's see if there's anything else. So Patty says, I haven't started the sweet spot yet. I would just start it the way you start it, like just go through it sequentially. I don't like to just try to tailor and go through it here rather than there. Assuming you're in sweet spot, but if you're in body balance, then I would make it through module one, which is all the basic lifestyle things, the elimination diet, the optimized digestion, and all that. Okay, so yeah, good advice, Angelica. Here's the thing, and Laura's mentioning about how another doctor said to, you know, get the GI effects. I'm not a big fan of jumping in right away and getting tested. It's usually after you've applied things. Like I listened to Sharon and her diet was pretty darn impeccable. And her blood sugar is actually decent except for first thing in the morning. So my recommendation for her, and after having tried a lot of things over the years for sleep, was to get some testing. I don't always do that. I don't jump in that. It depends on the background. So like Angelica said, if you're into doing the digestive work, start with the basics. Start with the upper GI. And then move your way down, because we miss things when we just jump in and try to, you know, second guess the body and start somewhere along the way. So I created the program to be very systematic and step by step so that you can do it that way. So, head to exit. Yep. And like I say, mouth to anus. Yep. Yes, I like the idea of you following the program. And then if we get to the point where you're doing this and you're doing that, and you come on a call and I say, you're doing everything, let's just see if there's some weird bug in there. But a lot of the way the program is laid out, all of our programs are laid out, is to correct the underlying dysfunctions as you go. And then you can test if there's stuff that's still not getting better to see, you know, what they call is the zebras, right? In school, we got taught when you hear horse beats, think horses, not zebras. And if you've ruled out the horses, then you start looking for zebras. Yeah, Angelica, perfect answers, perfect answers. Yeah, the main things that I like to test before a program might be for blood sugar. I really like folks to be testing their blood sugar, their postprandial, and get at least some baseline testing so we know how you're making progress. And those aren't super expensive. Great. If you're having really great smoothies early in the day and it's filling you up and not having much of an appetite later, it could be that your body's getting the nourishment it needs. Thank you, Patty. Good. Angelica, great answers. It looks like you really have Laura taken care of. Okay, so if there's no more questions, we're going to call it a night. I'll just refresh again, see if anybody else has questions. Last chance to raise your hand, so star 2 will raise your hand. So Liz says, I've heard you mention berberine. Can you tell me what it does and how much to take? So berberine is actually a really cool herb, and it's a component, a constituent in herbs like Oregon graperoot and golden seal and goldenrod and things like that. And berberine itself has been found to do a number of things in the body. One of the things that it's been found to do is when tested against metformin for blood sugar balance, it has outperformed metformin in terms of getting people's blood sugars down, getting their insulin levels down, and improving insulin sensitivity. The dose that's been tested has been 500 milligrams 3 times a day. Doesn't mean that's your perfect dose, but 500 milligrams 3 times a day is the dose. In terms of dosing on supplements, herbs, you can either start low and move up, and especially if you're a sensitive person that tends to react to things quickly, and then you just work up to your sweet spot dose. If you tend not to be and you want a quick response, you can try the full dose, 500 milligrams 3 times a day. If that doesn't work, and, you know, if that does work, then you can gradually kind of ease it down to find your exact right dose. That's berberine. It's mentioned, if you're in sweet spot, it's in module 1, 2, 3, I believe, is, or 2, the nutrition module. And there's a whole section in there on advanced section on herbs. And if you're taking it because you have some sort of infection, some sort of gut dysbiosis, and you're trying to get rid of, the doses can be less than that. But again, you can play with those doses. I can never see. You just said it, Janavi. John Avi, is it possible to plateau on the metabolic reset green foods? Yeah, you know, when we do the same things over and over, we plateau. That's why we set it for 30 days, and then you can go ahead and do other things and alternating. So we talked about, like, several of you doing intermittent fasting. Like, if you're doing early intermittent fasting, which means that you are eating early in the day and then fasting from late afternoon into the morning hours, then vary it up and see, like, keep your body guessing. Don't eat always the same number of calories. Metabolic flexibility happens when you vary that. You can have a fast day every week, a feast day every week, and then 5 just regular days. And it depends on where you are with your weight too. If you need to lose weight, then you can have more fast days and maintenance days and less feast days. But if you need to gain weight, you can have a few feast days, but then fast days or lower calorie, you know, ketogenic type days. So it's really a matter of flexibility. And that's what we discussed a lot in a presentation I did last night. What did I call it? Intermittent fasting and how it affects metabolic imbalances. Unfortunately, we don't have a replay of it because the technology failed, but we're doing it again live on Saturday. And Lynn posted a link to it, and let me see, I have it up here. I think it's drritamarie.com/, darn it, and it's gone from the chat. Angelica, if you remember what it was the fasting something. But it basically will give you the ability to come to that live on Saturday and ask questions if you want, and then we'll hopefully get a replay of that we can post for you guys. What else? I think that's it. I don't see any other questions coming in. So let's see. I'll do last call. I'm going to refresh on the Q&A, and I'm going to go back to the line. Oh, now it looks like I have two hands up. It looks like one is, one I just did. I didn't put it down. And then Lynn, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I'm suffering from Mercury retrograde because the moment we started this call, my internet went down.
Oh, yeah.
So, I've been listening the whole time. And the website is drritamarie.com/fastingdeepdive.
Fasting deep dive. I'll repeat it because you're a little fuzzy, but drritamarie.com/fastingdeepdive. I'm going to put that in the chat if any of you want to go into it. You know, I talked a lot about intermittent fasting and metabolic flexibility and plateaus and all that. If you're not a practitioner, you can ignore our offer at the end to join Shine. But if you are not a practitioner and you love going deep, you're welcome to join us because we're going to do 3 days of that kind of stuff, fasting, intermittent fasting, ketogenic diets, metabolic flexibility, blood sugar testing, et cetera. And we're going to have, you know, food demos and yoga and all kinds of cool stuff. So it's a great conference whether you're a practitioner or not. But it was really kind of a summary preview. Hey, you know, come to this webinar too. But it's a chock full of information. Lynn and Angelica can attest to that. Fasting, deep dive. All right, yeah, you can go there. I thought it came out really well, and it was really well organized, and lots of great information. So you're welcome to join us on Saturday. And if you can't join us Saturday, just click that link and register anyway. So that way we'll send you the replay when it's over. Thank you, Lynn. Sorry about that. I got bumped out earlier, didn't I? I mean.
Yep, you did.
This has been a bad one. I'm looking forward to it being over,
August
but I don't
1st.
Think it's over to the end of the month. August 1st, here we go. All right.
Yeah.
Good.
All right.
Thank
bye.
You. Bye. All right. I see no other hands raised, and I'm going to go one more time in the Q&A and one more time in the chat. No more, and then we'll have a great one. Let's see. What time is the fasting webinar? It's 1 o'clock on 1 o'clock Central Time. 1 o'clock Central Time, which is 11 Pacific and 2 Eastern. I've used the pad. Oh, Jody. David. Hi, David. I stopped a quarter teaspoon of black seed daily, suspecting it might be related to becoming cold and having leg cramps. Maybe came less almost right away. It's been a week. It's been reasonable that the black seed causes symptoms. Whenever we're suspicious that way, I always add it back and see. Black seed is supposed to really be helpful for thyroid, though, David. And if you're the same David I'm thinking of, thyroid was an issue we discussed, so I'm surprised at that. Black seed, there may be some other mechanisms there, but black seed helps to, you know, bring down the TSH and lower thyroid antibodies and help with conversion. So, yeah, I would say go ahead and try it again. If it's been a week and the symptoms have gone away almost immediately. It's probably that, but go ahead and try again. Jody, I need support with how to do the glucose testing so that I can get enough blood. I followed all the protocols mentioned, but only get a teeny drop, 5'3", 130 pounds, and 70 with bony fingers. So here's one of the ways that I've seen it done. Let's see. I use the pad of my fingers and most of the fingers, even the side of my knee. Oh, my God, poor Jody. First thing I would do is warm up your hands. So I do it by putting them together, and that gets, it increases circulation. Second thing I would do would be to stand up and move your hands around, like in front of you, up above your head, wave them around to get blood shooting into them. Then I would shake at the wrist, and that's going to help get more blood in, and then do the testing that way, see if that works. All right. Thank you all. I'll talk to you guys soon. Hopefully I'll see some of you on the webinar on Saturday. And I'm going to open up the lines and let everybody say goodbye to each other. So on a count of three, one, two, three. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye,
everyone.
Bye. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, too. Thank you.
Thank you for all your help today. It's Sharon.
You're so welcome, Sharon. Good luck with that, and I hope that the sharing that, who was it that said it after that about her gut related to the sleeping. You know what the other thing I want to mention to you, and anybody that's having trouble sleeping, go to Brain Time, drreedandmarie.com/braintime. A friend of mine, colleague of mine, created this program, and we've had several people in our practitioner training where I first shared it that he came and spoke to the practitioners, and they said, okay, give it a try. And they'd been having trouble with sleep for years and got their first night of sleep right after that. So drreedandmarie.com/braintime. It's worth a try.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.